Well, hey everyone, welcome. My name is Cal. I am the East Location Worship Pastor, and I have the honor this week to host our episode of the Run From Zero podcast. Run From Zero is a phrase that's all over our church. We talk about this because there are many times when God calls us to something, but it can seem kind of daunting. And but to hit 100 miles an hour, you have to hit 1 and 2 miles an hour. And so Run From Zero is simply that, like just running from doing nothing. And so if you haven't watched the sermon yet from yesterday, go ahead, pause this video, go watch Todd's sermon on the story of Daniel, and then come back here. We would love to continue the conversation as we talk about how does the story of Daniel apply to our lives and even our prayer lives. My favorite line in this story is, "Then Daniel went and prayed as he always did." And so we're going to dive deeper into our prayer lives today. Super excited that you're here. Come check it out. Gentlemen, good morning.
Morning, Cal.
Swarty.
How's it going,
Todd?
Cal? I know.
The boys, let's go.
Let's go.
You got hot toddy here with a warm cup of oatmeal.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at this guy. Looks fantastic. Woo-wee. Today. I know. Just drink it in like let's a J. Crew catalog
I
or something like that.
I don't know if the warm cup of oatmeal is a compliment.
Oh, I do.
Or. Listen. I just don't know about that.
I don't know. There are some days you feel like a warm cup of oatmeal. A little brown sugar on top.
There you go.
Yeah,
there
some buttered toast. Let's go.
Man, so we know what you had for breakfast. All right. So this is a moment for me. Yesterday, we were talking. It seems like for years, I'll be down at the office. I'll start brewing a pour over and like people are coming out of the woodworks. The crowd's
You're not
coming.
Wrong. People get excited when you start pouring over and
then you walk by and
they gather.
I'm like, Todd, you want some coffee? And you're like, no, your coffee's not good enough for me.
I did not say that. That's like
But his face says it. His face, his face does give that little essence of I really don't like your style at all. I don't like your kind.
I don't love coffee in general, so especially hot coffee.
But let me clarify. There we go. A couple weeks ago, I saw you with iced coffee.
Yeah. Yes.
So today, I've got a cup of coffee in your hand. You said, what was the condition?
I would try it.
You said I had to explain it.
Yes, please. Like, what am I supposed to be trying to taste in this brew you made?
Yes. So I have...
Oh, gosh.
The wheel of fun right here.
Yeah.
Let's get stoked.
So when we taste coffee...
I want you all to notice, you can't read this, but there is one section that says fluffy. Like, if that's... I don't understand coffee.
I'm seeing fruity.
Fruity.
I thought, from my eyes, I was like, that looks like...
I kind of got me like, but I really like
floral.
There's floral.
Okay, so when we're tasting coffee, and we taste like berries, or we're tasting like chocolate, and we talk about that stuff, it's not like it's in the coffee. But we're taking a sip and we are thinking, okay, what is this closest match? And sometimes we even look like, what does this not taste like? So the explanation of coffee tasting. Against most culture, we slurp it. And you do a... And then you look at the chart and you figure out, what did you just taste?
It's almost like like a computer, like boop, 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 boop.
So that's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah.
This is how it's supposed to go.
Yeah, spritz the tongue.
Can't say that. Oh, gosh, that is terrible.
Hey.
Let me tell you what I tasted.
I definitely tasted something fluffy. Yes.
Sour. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other, maybe. Just tastes chemical. Burnt.
There might be some wind.
Burnt?
Yep. Got a little burnt flavor in there.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, Todd's thinking like Windex.
What did we put in there?
I don't know what you put in there.
Yeah, you're never having any coffee. Yeah, coffee
that's
ever
the
again.
Last time that Cal is
I
generous
told you,
towards
Todd. Danger's going after this. I just...
Man.
Nope. What is it supposed to be?
Well, a lot of people taste different things.
Yeah.
For me...
What did you taste?
Yes, Swarty, you go.
What did I taste?
As you slurped it.
I did not taste spices, but just... I agree. It's a little bit of a sour taste to it. But, just kind of earthy. To me, it's a more earthy mix to it. And like just those things that are around, they're around the coffee beans as they grow and stuff like that. Those things that can get in there. Yeah, it's a good mix. And it's nice. Like right now, I'm really into Ethiopia, which is kind of like the
country.
The Mecca. Yeah, I really, Ethiopians are great. Okay. I do. But no, Ethiopian coffee. And it's kind of like the Mecca of where everything kind of went down, but for coffee. But it's been good. But yeah. You mix it up, like some of those are, you know, you get some blueberry in some, you get...
Do you actually taste blueberry?
There are moments, if you brew it right, like a pour over is like one of the best ways to draw out those.
So for me, I'm tasting a bit of, when I do this in a Chemex, I get more of that berry side, but there's definitely a lot of the acidic. I'm getting some of the, where is it on the chart, the pear and like the grapefruit orange, kind of some of the citrus side. Not that that's there, but it's like, that's where it's like, oh, closely related. So.
Okay. My mic goes to the movie clip, right? Like, I'm definitely sensing some of the nuttiness. Yep. The nuttiness is definitely coming through.
Still terrible.
Hey now. Hey
I'm sorry. It's not you. It needs something in it.
It's like one of the areas. Yeah, it's one of the areas where you and I
sweetness, you know, caramel, differ. Vanilla, anything.
Yeah. Mama always said the best coffee is coffee you drink.
Mm-hmm.
But Seth told me that.
Yeah. Not your mama.
No.
My mom
Seth
and
told
Seth
me
were like fantastically close.
Anyways,
right. There we go.
So
thank you.
We'll come back around to coffee a little bit later on in the podcast, but. You know, yesterday you were talking about the story of Daniel. Mm. And one of the things that I love about scripture and that even as I'm learning as I get older, like what it means that scripture is living, breathing, God breathed. And I think one of the big things that stands out to me is there are things that I pick up on in a story when I'm like 7. And there are things that I pick up on when I'm 29 and I'm like, it's saying both of these things, both are very true, but almost like very different takeaways. And so, I don't know, for you guys, I guess my question as we start, like I have some ways that like God was speaking to me, but how maybe the story of Daniel, one of these first stories that we hear in Sunday school, how has that like changed as far as like what you're paying attention to when you hear it as a kid versus like as an adult?
Yeah. When you were talking about that, like, do you just randomly transport yourself back to like 7? Like, oh, yes. Cal at 7 was fantastic. Here's what I remember. I can remember being in the basement of Denison Methodist Wesleyan Church, right? White building there, right down by the middle school, and mom teaching Sunday school with the flannel graph, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so we don't focus on a lot of some of those things that at Cal at 29, Chris at 50-ish, you know, 50 and a half. Let's celebrate my 50 and a half. Mm-hmm. Half birthday, everybody. Anyway, but just this reality of back in the day, what grabbed the most, it felt like what grabbed the most attention in the story, right? Like, so you only focused on the lion. Mm-hmm. Like the lion was like, oh man, he's got saved from the lion. Great, God saves us. And you know, like that's the hard part about Sunday school and about growing in that scenario. Like you're grateful for the stories. I'm grateful for those things. Like what are those big block, you know, we talk about all the time. What are those big block things that are important to faith for us to realize? And you know, depending on how you grow up or Sunday school or not in church at all or whatever the case is, you know, how do those things impact you? And I would say, like, for me, looking back as a kid, the big block things about what, not the intricacies of the story, because obviously Daniel is super complex and super detailed about a lot of things that can challenge and grow us in our faith.
Yeah, I mean, as I studied this, you know, typically you're just blown away by the miracle of that the lions didn't eat them.
Yeah.
But there's a bigger miracle of the whole empire getting to hear about God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the lead up to that and Daniel's willingness. I mean, I read it now in that scripture of just Daniel hears all this and goes and prays.
Yeah.
You get older, that just starts to have a little bit more weight to it.
just because you're going, man, what did he have to sacrifice to do that, and make that happen? And when you're a kid, you're like, okay, what was it like being dropped down into a lion's den?
Is that going to happen to me?
That night?
When I get dropped into a lion's den, what will I do?
My brain's just going, what did it look like? Yeah. Like, what? Mm-hmm. How did that all, like, that's where my brain, and now older, I'm like, okay, that's a unique thing. I don't know if I care about the lion's part as much anymore as like the lead up to it. Mm-hmm. And what happened after it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this is morbid, but like, even if Daniel would have died, I wonder if the same impact would have been made.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Mm. And so I think more of, I thought maybe the miracle was the lions, but it's actually more, look what the whole empire learned in all of that.
Yeah. So. And it really does. It challenges you to be reminded that one person's faithfulness really can. Because we don't think that. We just think, well, I'm just one person. Like, we say that all the time. Like, really, what is my faithfulness going to do? What is my decision to not choose to do this or this? Really, how is that going to impact anything? But really, Daniel teaches us that his faithfulness, I mean, and obviously, if you look through Daniel, there's just this roller coaster ride of faithfulness and just all the things that the kingdoms around him do that ignore what's happening in Daniel's life and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but that's, you know, that's a podcast for another time. But just that reality, like, man, how cool is it to, as a dad, right? Like, as a husband, our faithfulness matters. Our decisions matter, and they can bring impact and bring, and Todd's message alludes to that, you know, as you go later on, you know, that really is something that we've got to focus on and we've got to pay attention to, so.
Yeah, Daniel has actually kind of turned into one of my go-tos whenever I chat with someone that's like, I don't relate with the Old Testament. Like, I struggle with it. Like, man, the story of Daniel, the idea of like living in a world that's so counter the way that God is trying to have us live and stuff like that. But also, how do you do it while still being like having integrity and not like trying to burn it down, right? Mm-hmm. Daniel was an official in Babylon. And like, it's wild to see how the way that God used him was not to stir up trouble, but like genuinely bringing like this nation to God.
Yeah.
And so I find that's been kind of one of the things that whenever I'm chatting with people, I'm like, it's one of the most usable stories that we find in the Old Testament.
Yeah, that idea in the Old Testament, like, you know, obviously we love the New Testament because Jesus is there, right? And we want, that's the central figure. But, you know, the Old Testament is just those moments of a people looking for God, people looking for a God that really shows up and wants to do something and cares about him, right? And like this battle and this struggle to say, okay, well, is God really there? What does he really do? And then when it happens, and but then again, like so many of us, we quickly forget, you know. So maybe we relate to the Old Testament a little bit more than we care to admit, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think so many of the Old Testament stories allude to like a setup to who Jesus is.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Like I think of Daniel's story and I go, what did Jesus do right before he was going to be crucified?
Yeah.
You know, he went and prayed. Mm-hmm. And so you just see this God coaching and in the Old Testament showing humanity how to live so that when Jesus comes, we ultimately see this is what it can be, but also he's the Son of God that's going to make it possible for us to have eternity with God. So the Old Testament is this fulfillment of who Jesus would become and who we are needing in our life.
Yeah. Man, I love that. I think there's just so many moments where maybe we just gloss over scripture. And I even like the moments that might feel weird, like some of the prophets. And then I go back and I'm like, oh, there was a little detail that actually hits home. That's not weird. That's really spot on.
Yep.
And so, one of the, I think the line in this story that always just hits me is, you know, when the edict, the law is put in place of like, you know, don't pray to anyone but the emperor type of thing. It doesn't say that Daniel went and prayed like he's never prayed before type of thing. Yeah. He didn't say he changed anything. It said he went and prayed. My translation said, as he always did. And again, that for me, that's that transition of like, as I'm in like my adult life, I was like, oh, that's the line right there. I think of even, was it last week that we showed the video of Mickey training?
Yeah, running for the marathon.
Yeah, running for the marathon. And I had a buddy a couple years ago that was training, and we kind of just walked through a lot of that together. I didn't run the marathon or train.
Emphasize, walked through that. I walked through that with him.
But it was like, you when you do those things, you have support people and something we chatted through. And I was like, wow, like you can't decide to run a marathon the day before the marathon. Yeah. Like, that's going to be a train wreck if
you,
that happens.
You and I were talking about that. Like, those guys that just, was it you and I that were talking about that? The buddies that just sit around and they're like, hey, what are you going to do today? And they put all these crazy things for each other in the box. And they're like, run a marathon. And the guy had to go out and run a marathon. Ran around the track like, I would agree. Like, I would be the friend that'd be like, hey, you're doing great. Wait till they come around. Keep doing great.
Dude, when my buddy was training for it, it was back when I was a resident in New York. I rode a bike next to him, and I played like Eye of the Tiger.
Nice.
While he's riding on my phone. But either way, I think that's such a good like analogy of man. How often do we decide to start praying when something happens?
Sure.
And then we're like frustrated when it's hard. I would love to hear more of your thoughts. I know, like, when we're preaching, it's like we've got the time constraints, and there's always like, man, there are all these things that I wish I could have hit. Is there anything in that world where you were like, man, I wish I could have tapped more into?
I think for me, one of the things, and I have it down here, is like it just couldn't fit in the sermon. It was just the maturity in prayer, like, requires work. I alluded to, like, hey, you're going to have, like, start with these kind of ultimatum prayers where you're like, God, if you do this, then I'll do this. Like, we're kind of beginning this relationship.
Yeah.
And then it becomes like, okay, God did something. He showed up. Now I have this relationship. It can be a lot of, like, can you just do these good things in my life, the convenient prayers. But then how do you get to that unwavering prayer? And I think I kind of like, there's the examples, but there's a lot more to it than that.
Mm.
Like, I look at this, when it comes to your prayer life, it will be very similar to, if you're married, like building that connection with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Like, it starts and it's kind of like, oh, we're honeymoon phase. This is great. And then it's just like, hey, everything seems to be good. But then what happens when you're year 5 or year 7 and the communication or the connection is just not what it needs to be? What do you choose to do in that? Mm-hmm. Do you just walk away from it? Please don't. Do you lean in and try to figure out, hey, we're going to grow in this. We're going to mature in this. Our communication is going to look different when we have kids, all those things. I think it's the same thing with God. There's going to be these moments where you're going to be like, man, I used to pray and it just is not what it used to be. And so do you change it? I kind of put these things like, it requires changing it up.
Mm.
If you're going to have a mature prayer life, it requires changing it up. I went through seasons where I was like, man, what I'm doing is not working anymore. I remember even here, I went to, we just got a connection to the Catholic church, but it was, what's that school that's out there?
Just Terra Sanctum.
Yeah, Terra Sanctum.
Yeah, Terra Sanctum out there, yep.
So I went there, and they had a room, and I remember just going to that and be like, I needed a different space, a different way to just pray. And it was just once a week, and I would be like, okay, I'm going to go to a different area. It just feel like it was holy, honoring, and sit in that for a while. I've done now even a 5-year journal this last year. That has been like seeing my prayer life, being able to go, I see the faithfulness. So it's just things I've had to change to be able to go, I want to keep this fresh with God.
Yeah.
I want to keep this, like, I want this relationship to matter. And so I don't know if people think of prayer in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we think of it as, hey, it's just these words that I say, and if I say the right prayers, God will. And it's like, actually, it's more just learning how to have that communication with it. Nothing is like, I talked about it, but it just requires consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a couple needs that time together, you need this time with God. Yeah. And then I think it also just requires vulnerability. Like, how willing are you to be open with God? Are you confessing things to God?
Yeah.
Has it moved beyond just a, hey, can you do these things for me? Have you? There's just this development is, I hope that if you're year 10 of being a Christian, your prayer life looks different than year 2 of being a Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it keeps kind of growing and becoming that. But sadly, I just, I don't know, you guys, connections too. I don't know if I see that in people. And that's the part I'd be like, man, I'm not saying I figured it out, but I did recognize I had to make a choice of like, this matters to me. And if it matters to me and it matters to God, I've got to work at making it the best it can be and changing things. Yeah. So I don't know how you guys have navigated. I'd be curious, just kind of growing in that maturity.
Well, I think the key to what you said, there's a lot of things out of what you just said there. I think one of those is really the key to maturity, right? Like, it's not like you just were like, oh man, God's not hearing me anymore. I need to do something different. You were like, no, I don't know. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but it feels like, and I think this is a way we kind of describe it, right? There's this yearning in us to want to know God more, to want to have that closer connection with Him. And so we change up the location. We change, you know, I don't have my kids in the background going, Dad, I need you. Or you don't have, you know, your phone by you, or you don't have, you change up the scenery, right? Like that's why couples go on vacations. Mm-hmm. You know, like we changed up the scenery and we recaptured the love. Anyway, whatever. that really sounded really sarcastic. You got to do
you can create another honeymoon phase.
Yeah,
yes.
But do the work at home before you go on vacation to try to find love. Anyway, it throws me off. Like we tried to do that so well. Like, oh man, we found love. No, if you can't find love at home, how are you going to find it on the beach? Anyway, whatever. I know a lot of people disagree with me on that. Anyway, but the circling back to what you're saying, just this, man, reading God's story, reading the word, falling in love with it, seeing how other people interacted with prayer, seeing those prayers and petitions that were offered up to God, being reminded that faithfulness matters to God in the midst of prayer life, realizing that it is not just a one-way communication. Have we shut up long enough for God to listen if God is going to speak and not just fill it with things that like that you go back to relationship with your spouse. It is not just me talking and Rachel listening. She would just get tired of that really quick. I would get tired of that because I want to hear from her. I want to see what, you know, she's thinking. And that really is kind of a crux thing, right? Like, if we're praying and we're not interested in what God wants to say, we got some big issues there. Just like if you're married and you don't want to hear from your spouse, you might want to rethink that paradigm, right? Like,
yeah, it just reveals where the relationship's at. Yeah. It's very selfish.
Yeah, it is.
Like you are just wanting from God what you think He should give you,
which is why you have to move on from unwavering. You're like the inconsistent, like ultimatum prayer, like you're talking about. You got to move past that to get to the place
it's
where you're
not
like
that. Those prayers are bad. You still have them, but you've got to get to a spot.
You start there, right? Like, hey, man, I've seen God work, and not that you're like, man, I really like that ultimatum prayer. It really kickstarted God. Okay, whoa. Like, but the reality is,
and I think sometimes we look at prayer as this manipulative tool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We never call it that to get what makes us feel good from God.
Yep.
Versus it being, we would never tell a couple, use this to get what you want from your spouse.
Yeah.
So that's the part I go, we just got to be careful of treating it like it's this kind of.
Yep.
Kind of mystical way of connecting with the creator universe to get what you want. It's not that. And so, but that's hard to get to the spot of it actually being meaningful.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I'd like, if you get a chance, go read Daniel 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. You will see this time he gets to chapter 6, he has had so many big prayer moments in his life.
Yeah. Yep.
You would kind of go, did it make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it starts off with, should I even eat the food they're putting in front of me?
Yeah.
Having to pray about that. And that's a whole thing if you want to read that in chapter 1. And then it keeps getting more and more. Mm-hmm. Even having to learn how to pray for his friends when they're in this horrible situation of possibly being burned alive.
Yeah.
So it's just, he's had enough of these moments to where he says, I've talked with God. He has answered. We have this. We have navigated things together. Why would I not go to him?
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Come on.
So. Yeah, such a great reminder of seeing God's faithful, and that just goes back to not that this is a plug for the 5-year journal, right? Like, but that is really like if you're not remembering and writing down what God has done and how He's provided, man, you will quickly like like the Old Testament, you will quickly forget all that God has done because he shows up and will show up. And sometimes it's cool. He shows out and you're just like, oh, man, that was awesome. I'm glad I got to be a part of that.
Because I think God wants to have those moments with you.
I would agree.
And that's what I think prayer gives us the opportunity to experience. Like, okay, I did ask for this, or God and I kind of went back and forth on this.
Yeah.
And then you see the outcome and you're like, now we have a real relationship. I love it when I see couples or I see families walk through something and then they're stronger because of it.
Yeah.
And so too often we look at it as like, God, just fix this.
Yeah.
I think many of us would have been praying, like, God, can you somehow turn this betrayal around on them? Can you somehow, like, if Daniel's praying, like, just, but he was just, hey, man, like, God, may your will be done in this.
Yeah.
And that may mean I go to the lion's den. Like, and I think too often we're just trying to get out of it instead of like, what if we just walked in it?
Yeah. Well, and how often does our prayer life get maybe like stagnant because it turns transactional?
Yeah.
Like even the idea of, well, I've run out of things to say, most of the time actually looks like I've run out of things to ask for.
Yeah.
And even like as a worship department, like we've talked a lot about like how church has kind of had like almost like a pivot in the past like couple hundred years from like I'm coming, bringing a sacrifice to God. Like I'm bringing you glory to that song doesn't really do it for me. Or I didn't really get much. Lord, fill me up.
Mm-hmm.
Give me something to feel good. And we've made the whole thing transactional. And sometimes I even think of like, man, we overlook the, coming to him with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise.
Yeah.
Are we frustrated because just we are coming with a laundry list and we're making it transactional?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
I just was like, that was another thing I was going to bring up because I think within prayer, one of the things that I think if you're like, well, how do I make sure like this is connecting with you said Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
There's a ton of scriptures when it talks about prayer.
Yeah.
It brings up Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and even one of the things I think God pushed me when I started 5-year journal, it was not just, hey, here's a list of my prayer requests.
Yeah.
I split it up. There had to be at least two or three, because I had like a little paragraph.
Yeah.
And so I said, there has to be two or three things that I'm thankful for.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Two or three things that maybe I'm just praying for somebody or praying for this. But it's like Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Colossians 4:2, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart.
Yeah.
And so, and then 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. We remember that, like that, like for that.
Yeah.
But then next, give thanks in all circumstances.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Once again, I'll go back to analogy. Like, yes, like when you're communicating with your spouse, if it's always like, hey, here's what I'd love for us to do, it, like almost these, not demands, but kind of requests in that sense. But if there's never a thankful part in there, or a gratitude for what, we're missing some of it. And so prayer is strictly learning how to have a relationship with God.
Mm.
Yep. And you see this in scripture where it's giving you some like, hey, when you pray, also include this thankful part into it as you pray. Like, so that gives you ability. You could pray scripture. You could pray even churches who have put these prayers out traditionally that have been, hey, these have been prayers.
Mm-hmm.
That these are all excellent things to include if that's something you need. Or it's, hey, you write out some of these things. So that way it just, this is your way of connecting and relating to God. And it's got to have a thankful part to it.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, you put those conversations with your spouse, in that mix, like Rachel is not, she wouldn't care if I say this.
take a couple seconds longer.
I love that you're filtering yourself out.
I am literally, like, I mean, Rachel and I, that's one thing, sidebar, okay? If you can't say it in front of your spouse, don't say it at all, right? Like, sidebar. Anyway, back to the point. For the longest time, I get up early, right? Like 6 o'clock. I could get up earlier if I wanted to. I just choose not to. Anyway, and I love getting up and making coffee and have my time of the word. That's my routine. And, as we grow, I mean, I'm 26 years in marriage, right? Like, and so there are things that we've gone around the block on a lot of things, right? Like, we've experienced stuff. We brought other stuff in where we've enjoyed in our marriage and as a part of the things we love. And then part of me is like, well, what would it look like if she really got up early too and really liked coffee? And the ultimate goal is like, what if she started just making me coffee in the morning? Wouldn't that just be a loving wife thing to do? You know what I mean? And then I remember having a conversation. I said, I just wish you just desired to get up early and we could just have time together. She's like, yeah, not going to happen. She's like, we've been married 25 years. I haven't done that. Chris, I'm not changing. And, you know, and I think so often this is for me in prayer, like so often we long for our spouse to change so it will meet our needs rather than God, is there something that I'm wanting to require you to do? Instead of saying, God, change me and make me okay with the situation that's going on here, right? Like, I really want you to change. Oh,
maybe that God will change.
Yeah, God, would you change your way so that I could feel really good about this or that I could get what I want ultimately out of this or fix her, you know? Like, oh, and God's like, can we just talk about you for a second? And so many of us just run from that, right? Like just get far away from that as possible because we don't want to have to fix or look at ourselves. And some of the prayer that Todd's talking about is introspective prayer, like looking within and saying, okay, you know, I was reading in Psalms 139, right? Mm-hmm. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. See if there is anything in me that doesn't bring you, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Yeah. See if there's anything in me that doesn't bring you praise.
Yeah.
And man, rarely do we want to pray that prayer.
Yeah.
And so I'm challenged by that reality of like, yeah.
And what I love about Daniel is sometimes we could read that scripture and be like, is that even possible?
Yeah.
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 But you see Daniel's story to where it is, they couldn't find any fault.
Yeah. I know.
And I'm not saying like, we will, on some level, I do believe we can reach some kind of holiness that can be.
Yeah.
Perfection maybe defined within God's eyes. I don't think it's perfection of like no sin, never like doing anything wrong, ever having a bad thought. That's a whole separate conversation. But I think he starts to make you whole and complete, and people are looking at you like, man, there's not a lot I can pick apart there.
No.
And I think that's a beautiful thing. I think down deep we all want that.
Yeah.
But then we just live enough life till we go, I don't even know if that's possible. And so we read scriptures like that or try to pray prayers like that. And we're like, man,
I'm not seeing.
And can I even pray this?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's where it's like, well, one, go back to the question, like, well, who do you say Jesus is?
Yeah.
If you believe he's the Messiah, then you got to go back to that firm foundation and go, no, he says I can, not because of something I do, but what he will do through me.
Yeah.
There's even a scripture that talks about when we pray and we feel like we can't pray it.
Yeah.
In our weakness, the Holy Spirit comes in and prays it on our behalf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just think about that for a little bit.
Yeah.
That the Holy Spirit will take a prayer that you don't know if you can even say, that you don't even feel, and he'll go, I'll pray it for you because I think this is so important in your life.
Yeah.
I will bring it to the Father. I will bring it to the Son. Mm-hmm. And I just sat in that scripture and went, man, I needed to hear that your prayer life is just so much more than I think you realize. Yeah.
Holy Spirit, just take over.
Yeah. I'm not doing it today. Struggling.
But
struggle is real.
And maybe we're going to get there, but like my mind just keeps coming back to like one of the questions you asked earlier, just in how to pray and what to pray. And I think, you know, Jesus, you know, brought the disciples there when you pray, you know, and he taught them how to pray. Like we're not God.
Yeah.
We need him every day. Mm-hmm. Forgive others. Like, I mean, there is a great tool, a lot of tools in God's word that helps us pray, right?
Yeah.
Like, and Daniel's faithfulness is walked out in all those consistencies. You realize I can't, you know, Daniel says it multiple times. I can't do it, but there is a God in heaven, right? Like, you know, even go to Joseph's life. Well, there is... I can't do it, but there is a God that can, you know? And so just the acknowledgement that, I mean, I think that's kind of one of the dangerous scenarios when it comes to prayer, is that we think, and I think you alluded to it in your message, that we think we're still controlling things, that, you know, like we have this some semblance of control in the midst of how the outcome of our life, and we try to just circumvent the outcome and make it, you know, easy for me, rather than say, okay, God, you're God, whatever you got, you know, we answer it in different seasons, right? I think I'm in. I might be in. Man, if you could change, if you could do it through somebody else, that'd be great. Or if you could just show up and send me a letter today saying from you, or no, whatever you got, I'm in.
Yeah.
Whatever you got, I'm in.
Yeah. One of the unwavering prayers I had on there was be ready to surrender.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so that way some other people can see like the foundation you're standing on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a quote, I was going to include this in this time because I just didn't have time in the Oswald Chambers. I bring this a lot up in my prayer group. Mm. He said, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. It is the greater work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And once again, sometimes we can treat prayer as this like, okay, it's the pregame stuff.
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
And it's not. It's the opposite. It is the game. It is the arena. It is where you fight.
Yeah.
And so it's learning how to treat prayer that way.
Yeah.
Versus like, okay, I'm going to do this so that hopefully this will happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so I just thought that was a great quote in helping us understand prayer is the work we have to do.
Yeah.
It is. And that is not, oh, what does that mean? It is you connecting with your Savior, your God, so that you can navigate the world.
It's the relationship building, like something that you mentioned, like, you know, bringing the Lord's Prayer. And it even reminds me earlier you mentioned like switching it up.
Yeah.
And I think there are seasons where it's like, yeah, pray the Lord's Prayer word for word.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are other seasons where it's like the Lord's Prayer, it's prayer prompts like our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, you are holy.
Yeah.
You like, may your will be done on earth. Like, you're using those lines to then pray your prayer out. And so there's a season to pray that specifically. And there's a season to allow that to like develop your conversation. Like, I think it's one of the reasons why we see like David's known as the man after God's own heart. Cause we read through the Psalms and he just went for it. Like, even in the moments, like not necessarily what you were saying, but you mentioned like, can I pray that? There's like moments where David's saying stuff where it's like, can you say that to God? But it's like he's a man after God's own heart because he had the relationship built that like, Lord, I'm going to tell you genuinely how I feel.
Yeah.
Though I know that you are greater than anything that's going on. Like, I feel surrounded right now, but there's a conversation being had there. And I love that side of it.
I think they're okay. So, side note again. Yeah. Here you go. I'm more of a gulper when it comes to coffee. I'm not a sipper. I'm
like, callback to the beginning.
If there's like coffee, like let's drink it. Like,
go. Yeah.
Yours is like lukewarm right now, and I just sweet Lord,
Todd?
I don't know. Todd's
mine's
is
definitely cold.
Todd's is
definitely
straight up pickle juice at this point. Yeah. Which anyway, there you go. Top right off. I think you brought up something I think that is really a cool reminder and just a cool practice as well. When it comes to prayer, is, man, sola scriptura, like, can we pray prayer? Like, yes, you can, right? Like, if you go to the Psalms and you look at, just take 139, and man, you can live in Psalm 139 forever, right? Like, and if you just feel like you're not connecting with God, or God is wanting to say something, or God's wanting to get through to you, like, you know, like, search me, oh God. Okay, stop there.
Yeah.
God, search me. And you, let me tell you, you better be ready, right? Like
may not be right away, but it's coming.
Yeah. It's coming. Like, if you're in, and I think that's just it. Like, the ultimatum prayer, we pray it once and we're like, oh, it didn't happen, I'm done. No, okay. Through Daniel's life, there was consistency. So how do we take what we see from the people in God's word and walk it out every day? And if you really want to know God, and you want God to know you, God, search me, know my anxious thoughts. God, how, you know, go later on, may I hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, what is that? Where he's talking to, you know, like, how does a young man keep his way pure? Mm-hmm. Okay, God, is purity a part of my life? Is hiding your word in my heart a part of my life? Is sin a part of my, I mean, you could spend a lot of time right mm-hmm. there, you know, and that is just a couple verses out of Psalms.
Yeah.
And God has given us this book, like, man, to you be the glory. Okay, is my life filled with focusing on the glory of God? Is my life pointed to God? Is my consistent practice, going back to what the message was about, is my consistent practice and faithfulness directing people to the heart of God, yeah, to see the work of God in my life so that others would be drawn to him, others would be curious, others would want to know what a faithful life, a faithful prayer life, a faithful relationship would look like.
And that's what I would love for people to experience. Like what you're talking about, that can just have so much richness in it. Yeah. Just being able to connect with God and being able, because some people will wrestle with, well, how do I know I can hear God?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do I know? Yeah. It's all those things. And I think for me, one of the, and I've seen this in scripture, but also like navigating, like, well, you ask some of these bigger questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then allow God to speak into it. Because here's what I think is going to happen. There's probably going to be something that pops into your brain that you think.
There's a lot of things.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a mad world, Ty.
And you've got to decipher a little bit with that voice going, well, would Satan say this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's a good thing. I see it in scripture. And then second thing, back it up with scriptures. Yeah. Talk about that. If you get a thought of like, I should probably confess this, that's not probably going to be Satan. Yeah. The Bible talks about it.
Yeah.
And so that gives you the ability, like, wait, I just heard God's voice, maybe not audibly, but I just had it come through my brain. Like I was not thinking that.
Yeah.
And that just happened. You have those moments over and over and over again. You start to know that voice.
Yep. Yeah.
And I love it when you start to see people, and you probably have all experienced this. We're leading people, trying to decide people, and you start to see them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Catch the Holy Spirit's voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and they start to go, I heard, or I had this thought today, and I think that's where, and then they act on it, and I'm going, man, that's the beauty of a healthy prayer. Yeah. Now you're doing unwavering prayers, and it's the prayers of the faithful.
Yep.
Come
because
on.
You are now going, oh, I want to be faithful to God. This is, I don't, ultimatum prayers still maybe need it, but those don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is, I get to hear him. I'm excited to see where this may go. And now I'm bringing him into some of these prayers. Like, God, think of other scripture moments. Like, what's my son's stand still prayer? Yeah. What's that big prayer, that big audacious thing that you would love to see?
Yeah.
Maybe it's changing a community, changing your family. And if it doesn't happen right now, do you keep praying for it?
Mm-hmm.
Because God's going, man, I love my son and daughter believing in me that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll navigate. I might have a certain timing on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's... to me, when I start to see someone walk in that, you can just peace all the fruits of the Spirit start to move and to start to be evident in someone's life. Now, is that easy? No, it's hard. It's hard work, but I want people to experience that.
Well, and you brought it up and I think, you know, we were actually talking about it upstairs a little bit ago, right? Like before we came down here, like, it's not just like, because I take it a step back specifically to the person that is hearing this and going, man, this seems like a lot. Like, oh man, that's crazy. Like, how do I even get there? And one of the things we were talking about was, you know, if you hear God's voice and you're like, I really feel like God is calling me to do this. And a lot of people sometimes will just jump in and go for it, and that's fine. And maybe it is God, but God has given us individuals like, and God has given us the scripture, and God has given us experience, right? Those four things that can be checks and balances to some degree until we feel more confident that is the voice that we're listening to, right? And how do we reconcile, like, I think I hear this. Oh, no, I know I hear this, right? Mm-hmm. Like the life of Daniel. Daniel heard the edict, and the first thing he did was, I'm going to pray. I'm gonna, like I always do. I'm not changing anything. God, the God that you know, saved me from the meats of the idols, right? And fruits, that just sounds like a miserable diet of vegetables, right? God save me from vegetables. Anyway, but like,
save you with vegetables.
No.
That's the most sporty prayer.
Save you from vegetables. Anyway,
just let me smoke meat, man, all day long.
That's right. This, I'm gonna take some time off. Anyway, but just, man, all those ways that that God consistently showed up and God consistently brought the reminder that I called you to be faithful in a, and here's like, and you alluded to this, right? Like, in a foreign land, against all odds, right? Like, this was not home, right? Like, it's easy, and you know, and that's a conversation for another time too. Sometimes it's not easy to pray at home. Like, you got to get out of that, you know.
Yeah.
And but if you can be faithful in that person in a time of uncertainty, in a time of unknowns, like I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. I'm going to be faithful in prayer. Like, yeah.
I think of like the, I don't know, like for me, I think of people like my grandmother. She's 82 years old. And she is like, we remember the prayer warriors, dude. We need to bring them back. Like, I think of people like my Aunt Barb. Like, they're the people that, when I was like a punk kid and I didn't really care about any of it, like they were praying over me.
Yep.
And as I've gotten older, I realized like how much they actually did.
Yeah.
In their prayer closet. And I think as a, you know, as a 29-year-old, there are people, those are like two people that are like staple, like, man, Lord, how do I become a prayer warrior? Yeah. And so I don't know, like a question for you guys too. Like, did you guys have people like that in your life or growing up that you're like, man, like we talk about the maturity of prayer.
Yeah.
Who would those people be?
Sorry, did you want to?
Go ahead.
Okay.
You were excited about
just
your people.
Just going to Stephen Curtis Chapman this. I'm diving in. Let's go. Anyway, this is the reality of like my dad tells a story, right? Like my grandma was 4'7". Mm. I could stand on my hands and knees and like give her a hug eye to eye, you know, like.
That's most people.
Yeah, it is. Like it's awkward though when I get down on you. Anyway, whatever. Like she would stand 4'7", and dad would talk about, grandpa was a pastor, right? Like, and grandma would just spend time at church at the front of the altar. Yeah. And praying, and dad would, he would tell the story. I'd go in, I'd pray a little bit, I'd leave, and grandma would stay there, right? Mm. Like, and just, I don't know why it took me so long. I mean, my story is my story, right? But I don't know why it took me so long to realize that I am a product. I know that I'm a product of the faithfulness of all those that have prayed before me, right? Yeah. Like, I am where I'm at today. I'm in this position that I'm in today that, seeing God as a part of the legacy and the heritage of the life that the lives that have gone before me, right? Like I some great grandparents that prayed for me, prayed before they even knew, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's just how crazy that is to know, and other people that saw potential in me that, like you're talking, as a punk kid, as a kid that thought he knew something, as a kid that. Even growing up, I mean, I grew up at church camp, and I know, like, my Uncle John, who's long passed, you know, was there when I got saved. And other people in my life that believed in me, that prayed for me. I can think of Loretta Walquist that I'm still, you know, like, here's the cool part. Like, this is a fun sidebar story. Both my girls have gone to college. Two of my four girls have gone to college. And we are still family friends with the Walquists that are down at Bartlesville. So my girls, I grew up with the Walquist. Loretta prayed for me. She would see me. She'd be like, Chris, I pray for you every day. I pray for you every day. Mm. And I like, and I love that. But my girls are still friends because we're still friends with the Walquist family. Right. Like, so it's not just, it was just cool how full circle, like my girls have gotten to benefit from a friendship that long ago was something that was just really cool in the midst of my life. And those are just crap. Those are just four, right? Like the list of people that saw something in me or saw and believed in me and prayed through the idiocracy of my thoughts and my actions and said, God's going to use them, I think, maybe, hopefully, right? Like, mm-hmm. But yeah.
I mean, I've got a similar story. I've got grandparents who, whenever I talk to them, been praying for you.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yep.
The older you get, like when you're younger, like, okay.
Yeah.
cool, whatever.
Yeah. Now you recognize how powerful and meaningful that is.
Yeah.
Parents who did that. But I think even if you're like, man, I don't have a family in that.
Yep.
Well, my grandpa came from a family that was not believers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But once he became a believer and then joining grandpa, like they led that way.
Yeah. It's never too late to start.
And that's what
it's never too late to start.
Now I stand on the shoulders of that, but you may be the one that starts that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For your family and the future families to come. And I'm so thankful my grandpa did. But if it wasn't my grandpa, hopefully it would have been one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that would have started it and said, nope, this is what matters. And so that's the part to see the power of that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I appreciate the question because I do think it's something you got to pause there and just go, wow, there is something powerful and a prayer connection there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is, we don't talk about like, well, my grandparents read the scriptures over me.
Yeah.
It's not the same versus they prayed this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the reality, like you brought up a good point, right? Like, because what if religion or relationship or nothing, like, okay, where do you start? Well, then I would contend you go back to Psalm 139,
search me
and know me. But how precious are your thoughts about me, God? That's not just those that, it's not just those that love God, that he loves each and every individual that is and was, right? Like, and they outnumber the sands of the shore. Like, so God already thinks. Know this, like God already thinks amazing things about you. He loves you. He wants to know you and how powerful that is.
And you just made me have this thought, like, just think, like God's been praying for you.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like if you think no one's been praying for you, that's not true.
Yeah.
God's been praying for you.
Yeah.
And Holy Spirit's been working in you. Like he's been wanting to talk to you and praying, like, I pray that they come to know me.
Yeah.
And
yep.
And so that's when you read those, like you're just got to think like, wait, there's been somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Satan will try to convince you there's nobody.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Satan will try to convince you prayer is a waste of time. Like these are the obstacles we face.
Yep.
Like I think what I didn't talk maybe about that walk to his house.
Yeah.
The fight that he had to have in his brain of like, am I doing this? Yeah. Like he eventually made, yep, that's what I'm doing. But we all have that walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just say that. We all have that walk to prayer of going, am I going to do this or not? Because today I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
Today it
yeah.
could cost me something. Today Satan's convinced me that it's just not worth anything.
Yeah.
But do I still get up and walk and go, I'm going to do it anyways?
Do I go to my house and pack up my stuff and try to get out of Dodge real quick here? Like, do you think, is that a thought in David and Daniel's mind? Like, man, I could throw a bag together and be out of Babylon here in a heartbeat, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he could have done that so many times.
Yep. But he didn't. You know, like, I think it's in Jeremiah, right, where there's a passage of scripture that talks about work for the prosperity of the land. Like, be faithful where you're at, where you're planted, and how much David took that and walked it out each and every day. Like, David could have bolted. David, I mean, obviously, you know, that doesn't end well for a lot of people in the Word that try to do that. And David remained faithful and walked out exactly what God desired him to do, even in the midst of daunting situations and circumstances.
I did have this, I feel like, I'm not saying prayer is the most important, but usually it starts a lot with prayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then these other spiritual disciplines start to have deeper meaning. Because you start with a conversation, then like, well, now I want to get to know his word. Now I want to, I want to maybe try fasting, or I want to try journaling. I want to try these other things. And so that's the part I go, I think prayer has this big umbrella approach to like, let's, the whole goal of spiritual disciplines is to connect with your God.
Yeah.
It's not a check system. It's not a, hey, I've done some really good things today, God. I just want you to know that.
Here's my report card.
Yes. Right.
But we can treat spiritual I was guilty of that. Yeah. Like, okay, I read the day. I did this today.
I fasted today.
Good Christian. And it's like, no, the goal at the end of the day is to connect with God. And that's why you got to look at, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And is it actually just more of a, I did it, move on?
Yeah.
You're almost compartmentalizing it way too much versus, is it something that's actually leading you to a deeper... Go back to the analogy, and I know, like, even if you're not married, I think you can connect with this.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on dates and those dates be terrible.
Yeah.
But everyone will tell you, you should go on a date.
Yep.
Like, if you want to get to know someone, go on a date. So you've got to find, how do I make sure that those dates actually matter?
Yeah.
And finding the right person to do that with. God is the same thing. Like, how do I use these spiritual disciplines that actually connect with God? That may mean trying something you haven't tried before.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, that's fine. You've got the other disciplines. But sometimes you can go through a season where, like, I'm going to go back to that, that one. So to me, I just look at this from the lens of, look at the relationship you have with God in comparison to the relationships you have with others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're not good at having relationships with others, most likely you're probably struggling with having a relationship with God.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you have good relationships with others and you don't with God, take what you're doing there and maybe apply it there.
Well, go ahead. No, go ahead, man.
Well, I was going to say, like, I love even you mentioned, like, not that prayer is ultimate, but prayer first and diving into the other disciplines, because now it's not like, oh, I'm just reading my Bible by myself or I'm fasting by myself. Now, like, when we look at it as all of them are prayer practices, it's like, oh, no, you're reading your Bible with Jesus. And, like, I remember that was such a huge shift when I started integrating prayer with reading scripture, of, like, reading and, like, genuinely, like, with my, you know, I'm a seven, so I'm naturally a wonder person, but Lord, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and using that, like, conversation piece, but even, you know, stuff like fasting, like, no, you're not just doing this by yourself. You are doing this with Jesus.
Yeah.
When you go out into silence and solitude and you're getting away from everything, you're not actually alone. You are with the God of creation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that just, I don't know, I think it makes it just so much more beautiful and, again, a lot less lonely.
Yeah.
And it gives you the reason why Daniel's like, that's what I got to
go
to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do wonder if you just said seven and people are like, what is he talking
about?
Oh,
sorry. Enneagram. Like, I'm like a personality.
Like seven?
He's, I want to be secretly seven. Describing his personality traits.
No.
Seven.
Well,
is
so I can see someone being like, okay, Cal, I get what you're saying, but I'm
so
not like
you
that.
See the fruity section right here. No, just kidding. It's like,
oh, of course, no, the music
I
guy.
I can't say that either because I'm a seven as well. So, you know, like you and I are in the same boat.
Yeah.
But I think, I want to go back to, like, just, I think there's, how's this paradigm work, right? Like, and I think you describe it well in your message, the ultimate in prayers. Okay, so we get past those, right? Then we take a step of faith and grow of choosing to leave something on the table, which means we have to leave something behind. That if we're going to walk in a desire to know the Father, there's going to be our wants and our desires that get left there on the table. And I mean, I thought about this. I spent a lot of time thinking about that because you hear a lot of stories. What if I leave it there and I never get to bring it back?
Hmm.
Okay. Okay. Are you okay with that? Sometimes God will bring that back in once you
partly
surrender.
Partly because he loves you and he knows how much it matters.
A desire of your heart, right? But if we're willing to leave things on the table, I had a conversation with somebody here a while back, like, you know, the hard words of Jesus, like, if you don't hate your father and mother, if you don't choose me over everything else, you know, then can you be my disciple? No, like, and so willing to leave things on the table. If God says go, like, God tells you to go to the mission field, if God tells you to move away and follow a plan to go into full-time ministry or whatever the case is, are you willing to say yes over leaving the company business, you know, and the family business and saying, oh, this is what my family has always done. You leave things on the table, and then the full surrender of saying, God, whatever you have, I'm in. You know, we sing the song, right? All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give.
Yeah.
I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live.
Mm-hmm.
Man, how do we get to the place where we are daily desiring to live in the presence of Jesus and know him in that way? So,
yeah. Kind of moving into some of, like, the practical stuff, nodding back to what we chatted about a little bit earlier. You mentioned, like, your prayer life at, like, 2 years in shouldn't look like the prayer life 50 years in. And I'll be honest, this is even kind of a selfish question that I want to hear you guys talk about. Like, for maybe the listener that's like, they think of their grandma and they're like, I want that prayer life, but I'm like, she's 82, I'm 29. Like, I want that now. Like, what would you say to the person that's like kind of in that, like, I just want to almost like be the 82-year-old prayer warrior today? Like, that tension, what would you say to the listener that's struggling with that?
Start with a prayer of saying, God, help me with that. Yeah. Because that's where it starts. And then I think after that, it becomes some of those unwavering prayers, like, okay, well, what do you need to leave on the table so that you can do that? Like, you got to make this a priority.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it's going, okay, be consistent in it.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I think if you go after those, and then within it, what you're doing, we've given a lot of different ways to do that. Like, you can read scripture, you can do this, you can make a list of everybody you want to be praying for. You could do a lot of things in that. Yeah. But sometimes it may start with, I'm going to commit to, I go back to, we talked about run from zero from this, make it something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then something to scheduled.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then scheduled to sacrificial. Yeah. So that's the process you're going to work through. That's the maturity that you're going to work through, to where you're going, all right, it's going to start with 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you kind of do 10 minutes randomly.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're like, okay, I'm going to do it scheduled now.
Yeah.
I want it every day at this time.
Yeah.
And you boom. And then it becomes a little bit more sacrificial. You're like, I want to give more time.
Yeah.
I want 30 minutes.
Mm.
I want an hour. Like, it becomes that. Because the more, probably the older you get, you may get more time.
Yeah.
Especially once kids are out of the house or whatever the case may be. Or you may have more time right now in your 20s. That you're like, I have more time. Mm-hmm. I remember talking to someone, like, they had an hour when they were in 20s. And now they have kids. And it's like, dude, feels like it's come down to 5 minutes some days. And you're like, some of it is still going back to just stay consistent.
Because
when you're 80s, once again, you'll have that time probably back.
Yeah.
And so then it's becoming like, man, I hope that I'm not lazy at that. And I'm not saying they're lazy, but I could see myself being lazy.
Yeah.
I'll just say it that way.
Yeah.
Versus I want to spend that time honoring the Lord. Versus, all right, God, I'm so tired. When are you taking me?
Yeah.
I don't want that attitude.
Mm.
I would contend, spend time with those people.
Yeah.
If you have somebody in your life, if you have a grandparent in your life that prays, what would it look like to say, hey, grandma, can we, I mean, I don't have a grandparent. Thanks for bringing that up, by the way.
Sorry.
Anyway, I'm just kidding. Anyway.
Mentor, sibling,
no, but
even
just,
daughter.
But just, Chris, you have lots of people. It's great. Anyway, no. Schedule time with those people. Mm-hmm. Like, if you know somebody in your sphere of influence, like, man, I know that they pray. Hey, can we get together once a week and pray?
Yeah.
Like, can we spend some, if they're across the country, the beautiful part. I have a friend in Czech Republic. He and I, every time we get done talking, we pray together.
Mm.
And I am blessed by his prayers and the faithfulness with which he lives, you know. So learn, read prayers of the people that have gone before us. If you want somebody to follow, pray. George Mueller had some amazing prayers that never asked for anything for his orphanages, all came to him through acts of prayer.
Yeah.
Look at those people that prayed, study them up. I think the one thing, and I wasn't trying to find something that Todd didn't talk about, but because he's got a lot of wisdom, right? Like, and I appreciate Todd's heart for prayer.
Thank you, yes, Chris.
Yes. You are a blessing, Todd. No, but I do mean that. You are a blessing. And, but the reality is, quit making excuses that we don't have time.
Mm.
Okay, I'm just going to get like super practical. It takes 8 minutes to brew a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
What did you do for that 8 minutes? You were in the shower for 32, Susan. did you think that maybe prayer could happen there? We got to quit limiting where prayer can happen. We've got to quit making excuses about where prayer can and happen. Because I think often we think, prayer's got to happen to church, or prayer's got to happen in a quiet moment with no distractions. Man, you know, it's kind of like spending time with your spouse. If you got to go pick up kids and you're like, oh, we never hang out together. Well, go pick up your kids together, right? Yeah. Like, take advantage of those moments that you have that you are not taking advantage of now, specifically when it comes to spending time with God. And there, I mean, that's a kicker. Like, we could spend a lot of time, Paul talks about pray without ceasing. Take advantage of moments to pray, no matter who's watching. Get out of the stigma that it really matters what other people think about when and how we pray and where we pray.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I love that you touched on that. Like, I remember when our daughter was born, that like year before, I felt like I had a real good swing of like, oh yeah, like got that getting up early, you know, got the cup of coffee, our front window, the sun is coming above the horizon or the other house in front of us. But but it and then, you know, you have your first kid and it's like, man, you've got to be ready at the drop of a hat of like, okay, no matter what I'm doing, she's crying. I need to go like tend to it. And I read a book called Liturgy of the Ordinary and talking about like you're folding laundry. What does it look like to pray while you're folding laundry? You're doing dishes? Like, and that was, again, one of those like seasons of life change. The consistency of praying doesn't change, but what that looks like can.
Yep. Oh, hands down.
And so, yeah, I love that you touched on that.
I think we did that a lot. I just remember, like, you and I have gone through seasons of books, of people's, you know, interpretations of life. And I think I remember a season where there were a lot of books about, like, you know, mothers, like, oh, you know, putting pressures on moms to be a part of Bible study and have time in the Word, as opposed to, and what came out of that really, hopefully, was one of the healthy things of, like, listen, moms can pray and moms can listen and do scripture and listen to music and worship and and grow in the Lord as they raise their kid, you know, and making excuses for why they aren't growing the ways that everybody says you have to grow. Like, right. Like, you got to read at a certain time. You got to pray for a certain amount of time. No, hold on. Like, are we desiring, cause that is pharisaical, right? Like that idea is pharisaical, but like practicing to live in the presence of God, you know, walking in that way and wherever he's always there anyway. That's the best part. Like, where can I go from your presence? If I go to the heights, you're there. If I go to the depths, you're there. Mm. Wherever I go, you're already there. So help me recognize through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving in my heart that I have a God that wants to hear from me, that wants to be with me, and desires for me to know him more. It's kind of cool.
Bringing our conversation a little full circle to the coffee, I know for me, like, one of the ways that I've kind of kept prayer creative too is, and I joke, and it's, I joke, but it's also not a joke. Like, a lot of times my morning coffee is a little bit of a prayer practice as, like, you know, I like to roast, I like to brew, and it's so fascinating to me about, like, roasting different time or different temperatures brings out different flavors. Brewing it differently pulls out different flavors. And then all of the geographical parts of it, of like, before I even see the coffee bean, there are farmers and processors on the other side of the world that have like had a hand in this. And so for me, it's again, it kind of sounds a little dumb, but it's kind of turned into a little bit of a prayer practice for me of like, one, a little bit of that like wonder, like Adam in the Garden of Eden, like, Lord, this is crazy that you created this.
Yeah.
But also, like, as I start, like, global praying over people that, again, I've never met or anything like that, I find myself, I get, like, a little card of, like, the farm that it comes from, and I start praying over that. And so that's a way that coffee is kind of turned into a prayer prompt. Doesn't have to be that extreme, but we've talked about similar to like being on a date with your spouse and you get creative, like maybe you go to this restaurant, maybe you do a picnic, maybe you do that type of thing.
Ask new questions.
What are ways that, and again, it doesn't have to be as crazy as coffee, but what are the ways that maybe you guys have found yourself like, I was in a rut and I'm going to make prayer creative and kind of make it new?
Journal was another one I did with that. But then another thing I had was I did the practice of two chairs. It's been like you said, you sit in a chair and you have a chair next to you. Getting back to it, Jesus is here. He's sitting in this chair. And so when I went to that Terra Sancta, that's what I was practicing. Felt like I was going to a holy place. Jesus is here. Let me have another chair available. And so I think some of that can be good.
You see Todd walking sometimes around every day with another chair in his hand. Yeah. Hey, where are you going, Todd? Just looking for a good place where Jesus wants to sit down.
I didn't keep that practice going, but it was a good practice for that time in my life.
One of the things, and Todd and I have talked about this, like during COVID, started prayer walking around my neighborhood.
Love it.
You know, but I think those prayer prompts, like pray without ceasing, like that can be daunting, right? But like objective prayer, like, hey, I'm driving past Central High School. Let me pray for the teachers and the students at Central. Hey, I'm driving by Wells Fargo Bank. God, I know a couple of people that work there. Help them be a light. You're driving, you're taking your kids to school. That's a great time to pray and to hear them pray. Start a family devotion time, right? Like those are different seasons that bring out things because, man, then you get to hear your spouse pray. You get to hear your kids pray. There's just a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of great places to begin praying, and God can give you those prompts. It's powerful.
Good stuff.
Yeah, as we're kind of closing out, Todd, do you have any kind of final thoughts, anything that you want to send our church out with today?
I think we've covered a lot of good stuff. I would love for people to experience what I think Daniel walked in and being able to experience a prayer life that matters. Yeah. And more importantly, that leads us to being able to step into the arena in such a healthier way.
Yeah. Awesome.
Straight up. Good stuff.
Well, let me go ahead. I think it's fitting. Let me pray us out and we'll call it a day. Lord, we thank you. One, just for this conversation and these amazing gentlemen that I get to sit around a table with, and we get to just hear the ways that you're speaking through them. Lord, we thank you that you are the creator of everything. You are magnificent. You are glorious. You have a throne room with the angels declaring your name, and you care to spend time with us. And you welcome us into a relationship. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, I just pray that we all would just pursue you. Lord, thank you for your grace when we don't. But we're so thankful that every single day you welcome us to be a part of what you're doing. We love you. We praise you. We say this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, what an awesome conversation. I know I love every chance I get to sit around a table with those two gentlemen. And so today, as we kind of go from this, let's pursue Jesus. Let's make time for prayer and simply welcome Jesus to be a part of every moment of our day and allow him to speak to us and us to continue to speak to him. Church, we love you. We'll see you next time.